Actually, it's great growing up in a dictatorship, provided it's going to end when you have grown up. Time was completely differently conceived in a dictatorship because we were equally unimportant. So we had all the time in the world. We could study Chinese, Swahili. You could go and see your friends 2 o'clock in the morning, knock on their doors. Nobody would be angry. And now I'm finding it difficult to organize a meeting for 2 weeks on the telephone. You know, it's like,
Really, it's changed that much then,
of
hasn't it?
course, like it's like here, you know.
You start off in Budapest and you end up in Belgrade in the anti-Milosevic protests.
That's one of the points in my book, that trying to look back from the ending point, from the protest that changed the system, and looking back onwards and then understanding this kind of madness, what was there, and foreseeing the new madness that's coming up, which you don't see again because you're in it. But we were all treated like children by the regime. So I thought it would be an ideal form to write about the dictatorship. We were all children in the eyes of the regime, not just me, my parents, my grandparents, my professors, everybody. So to use this form and play with the innocent kind of attitude and approach of a children's dictionary, which was, of course, not innocent. It was always propaganda material, even if it was a children's dictionary. So I turned that against the system and trying to unveil it by that.
Made you want to go to Belgrade and observe, take part in these demonstrations, anti-Milosevic demonstrations in the 90s?
Yes, I went all around. I went to Prague, I went to Poland, Romania, Germany, Slovakia, and I did participate in Hungary in all the protests. It was fascinating to see all these people feeling euphoric. There was this incredible illusion of freedom all of a sudden after, you know, having lived in the regime for a long time, and all of a sudden everybody opened up and they thought everything is possible, and that was just fantastic to experience. So as soon as I saw the images in the news of people in Belgrade like doing this carnival-like protest, I immediately took the train and I was there in a few hours. I couldn't experience 56, so Belgrade was a perfect apropos to go there, having a distance, being able to see it from a distance, and sort of living through my 56, which I was told by my parents and my friends and all the people who were there. And this was the euphoria that I was looking for.
Because the book seems to be about three different things. Your own family history. You've got the recent events, former Yugoslavia, Serbia, Croatia, Kosovo, and then the distant history where everything goes back to 1389 and the battlefields of Kosovo.
That's right, but they all fit together as the story develops. It's becoming one. All these things are relevant. You understand more and more as I go around and around and around, and at some point it all fits together, and that was the idea. Because of the dictionary format, you have to work like that, a little bit here, a little bit there, and then slowly you understand the bigger picture. And everything is cross-referential, so you have to read the whole book, yeah.
It's taken you 10 years to get it published in English. This was first published in Hungary in 1998, and here you are, a decade on with the English translation. Why does it take that long to get it printed in English?
Well, generally the English market is not really interested in translated fiction. They all love it. Like, it's really brilliant. We think it's great. But we don't think that the marketing department will allow us to have anything like this, because they just won't understand. How can you sell it? How can you market it? They have this kind of idea that, you know, people who are buying books, they have this thing in their mind. Like, they're going to McDonald's and they want to have a cheeseburger and a Coke, and if something is different, they're not going to have it. No, with this book you have to work, but I mean, any good work of art is able to influence or even change people's life. This book was even used to stage a revolution in the Ukraine.
The Orange Revolution.
I got a letter from an Oxford doctorate student who was interviewing the activist of the Orange Revolution, and so it turned out that they were using this book to get ideas how to make the revolution there. So in a way, it was writing history.
What ideas were they taking from this book then? I mean, how did it help the revolution?
Yeah, well, what kind of events they should do, what they shouldn't do with the police, what is possible, how can they make sort of creative moves, and where is the limit? It's like they use it as a handbook it's going to Indonesia. It's going to be published in Indonesia now. And it's, again, it's going to be a totally different approach. They think it's like a different kind of Europe they can see because it's not the Europe that colonized them.
What about Serbia? What was that like in the mid-90s, 96, 98, when you were there?
It was amazing. It was a carnival and people were just jumping with joy in the streets. Some people making love in the windows where the crowd is cheering. And it was 200,000 almost every day. Marching and having enormous fun and with all kinds of street theater and activities, playing football in front of the cordon, playing chess with the police, and beauty contest, who's the most beautiful policeman, and all this kind of, so this was really individualistic and fun protest. So I enjoyed every moment of it.
Because what I was amazed, reading bits of the book, it comes because I was in Kosovo and Serbia and Belgrade in the 90s as a news reporter, and it conjures up that sort of a very surreal, chaotic, slightly crazy world where everything is bound to history and nobody quite knows what's going on.
Yeah, it's a bit of world of Marquez, you know. That's why I'm also using in the beginning and the end of the book some bits from the 100 Years of Solitude. Yes, it's absurd, but from inside, again, you know, you don't see that. It's just that's the way they live their life at the moment. You know, they completely refuse facing reality. I mean, to be able to survive, you have to believe in something. And if it's all madness about around you, then it's the madness you will have to live.
What was that line in the introduction to the book? A gut-wrenching belly laugh at everything that went wrong with the 50 years of communist Europe and all the people who failed to fix it.
I'm not nostalgic about it, but I wanted to describe, you know, and there are happy moments as well because, you know, you're young, you're in love, so, you know, those are happy moments and they cannot take it away from you. So I describe all those moments too and also the other moments which were not so happy and quite fearsome.
Some dark humour too. I love that badge or an illustration of a badge you've got in there. Visit Serbia or Serbia will visit you.
Yeah, that's a badge I made myself. Yeah.
Very dark, very, very amusing. And
it's true. You have to visit Serbia.